verse, many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I become a son. I'm sent. I receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is sent into my heart. Then I'm led by the Spirit. Stand there to know that there is something called the example of the believer. There is a way a believer is supposed to do it. Are you following me? That's what we call apostolic culture. There is a way. When you say, I'm a Christian, there is a way you're supposed to be.
Shout glory! Say that I am victorious. I am victorious. I have the victory. I am victorious. I have the victory.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3. It's 3 to 4. Praise the Lord. Try this. Let me say this one. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 1 from verse 3. Father, as we study once again about the gospel, speak to us. We are blessed, we're edified. In Jesus' name. You know, usually afternoon sessions are for disciples. Amen. People who want to do serious business with God. And for you to make the sacrifice to be here, I appreciate every one of you. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. So can you read with me Ephesians 1 from verse 3 to 4 with a loud voice? Glory! Go back again. Go back. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. First of all, let me start from the ending part. Heavenly places in Christ. The blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. Now, this is not something that's easy to explain, especially now that we are living in a generation where everybody just wants to talk about something that must have economic value. If it's not economic value, it is not valuable. And that's wrong biblically. Are you with me? We must see that there is a blessing in Christ that is a big deal beyond just money in your pocket. Are you with me? Material blessings are great. They have their place. But you see, the greater blessing is the miracle of what Christ has done. Are you with me? The greater blessing is the miracle of what Christ has done. And in fact, let me put it like this. The blessing of Christ is the biggest deal. Glory. And now, learning about that blessing causes us to bless God. So he starts by saying, we speak well of God. That word bless is to eulogize. We speak well of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he has spoken well of us in Christ. Let me say that again. We speak well of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he has spoken well of us in Christ. Meaning he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that causes us to bless him. Are you with me? Sometimes he has spoken well of us in Christ. He has blessed us in Christ. And that causes us to bless him. Glory. Say it again. He has spoken well of us in Christ. He has blessed us in Christ, and that causes us to bless him. Glory. That means, so he says, blessed be the God. So you bless God because he has blessed you. You see that? So he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So we bless him because he has blessed us. Praise the Lord. And so we bless him We worship him. We have fervent in our devotion towards him. Proper theology will lead to greater fervency, greater devotion to God. Are you with me? Not just a show of knowledge, but greater devotion to God, greater fervency in God, greater surrender to God, greater boldness in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go to verse 4. Am I too fast? But I was fast in the morning, right? I apologize. I will try my best to be slower. Praise the Lord. You know, being a pastor, there are many things I've learned. I found out that it's more tedious than people think. Well, we are more than able, amen. It's bread for us. It's not by size. Amen. By that spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Ephesians 1 from verse 4. So, in verse 4, it says, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us according to adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Wait a minute. Apostle Paul, were you there? Can you put verse 4 and 5 together? Were you there at the foundation of the world? How do you know that this was God's plan before the foundation of the world? He says, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. That means Christ was not an afterthought. Are you with me? It means that Christ was not an afterthought. It was not because things just kept getting bad and worse and worse, and God just said, you know what? Let me just send my son. No, the plan was that from the very beginning, God had planned for men to receive salvation, righteousness, to be called his sons in Christ. Are you with me? Do we get that? According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Glory. Say after me, in him I'm holy. In Christ I'm without blame. In Christ I'm holy. In Christ I'm without blame. Some of you are finding hard to talk. Say after me, in Christ I am holy. In Christ I am without blame. You don't know the heaviness of that statement. Glory. God descended on a mountain and he became holy. How much more you has become his temple? He descended on the mountain and said, Moses, pull off your shoes, for where you stand is holy ground. Now, because you are his temple, you will do the works of holiness. That's it. Praise the Lord. People have asked me, Pastor, why do you preach like this? I preach like this because the apostles preach like this. That's how the apostles preached. That's how the apostles preached. Paul looked at the whole Philippian church. You don't know about their personal life. You don't know what they are struggling with. He just looked at them and said, be confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ. Do you know them? Do you know their secret battles? You don't know. But he knows that if a man is genuinely saved, he that has begun a good work in you will perfect it. Are you with me? You know, let me tell you, don't fall for the error of majoring on the minor or minoring on the major. Don't fall for that error. Someone once asked me, saying, this is your church, pastors are, females are wearing trousers. Pastors are wearing trousers. This is your church. What kind of church is that? And you say it's the church of God. No! The Bible says, a woman shall not wear one part. I say, you still did there. Let me show you something to lighten the atmosphere before we learn about this deep thing we want to learn. Psalm 133. So my students are already laughing because you know where I'm going to. They'll know where I'm going to. Ah, I remember when I stumbled on this verse. I was actually studying about something. I was studying what it was, a material put together by the great man of God, Reverend Oyakhilome, in the 90s. He put that material together in the 90s. It was called The People of Prophecy. And then I saw this scripture. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2. Everybody read verse 2 with a loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go. It is like the precious ointment. So God was anointing with oil upon the head of Aaron, that ran down even to the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. I thought the Bible said a man should not wear what pertains to a woman, and a woman should not wear what pertains to a man. What is Aaron doing with the skirts? Are you following me? He should have read down to the trousers of his garments. What's he doing with his skirt? You know the most painful part about this skirt? God made it for him. God was the one that described the dressing for Aaron. When he was, go and read the book of Leviticus. God was the one that said, Bezalel and Aholiab, you people will design the dress like this. How can God be breaking his word? Didn't he know? Because you see, there is nowhere that says in the Bible skirts are for women, trousers are for men, or trousers are not for women. Are you with me? Guess what? That can be a sermon on a Sunday service. I can go on and on. I can talk about trousers, earring, bracelets, braiding of hair, or wearing of gold, makeup. Now, the Bible is an advocate of modesty. Are you with me? There are scriptures for that. The Bible actually talks about what is called the attire of a harlot. So you can wear anything wrongly. Whether trouser or skirt, you can wear it wrongly. Praise the Lord. How did we even get here, sir? He chose us in him. Ephesians 1 verse 4. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Okay, it was holy that brought us there. And without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Glory! So, how did Paul get to know this? Paul discovered this by studying the scriptures. He studied the Old Testament, and if you study the Old Testament, you will get to the same point where Paul got to, that Christ was God's plan for man's salvation and redemption from the foundation of the world. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, we can say that the Bible is Christocentric. Say something, the Bible is Christocentric. Say it again, the Bible is Christocentric. Now, what does that mean? It means that it's all about Christ and Christ's work for mankind. It's all about Christ and Christ's work for mankind. And part of the challenge is, like I said in the morning, that it's not really clear. It's in types and shadows and metaphors and symbols. And that's why it doesn't look really clear. But that was the preaching or the gospel of God, like we said in the morning, right? Right? Another reason why it was not clear was because the time for the fulfillment of that redemption had not come. It's just like when you buy a gift for someone. You buy a gift for someone, maybe for the person's birthday. Maybe you got the gift a week or 2 weeks later that day. Even though the gift is there for the person, you want to wait until that day to reveal it, right? So, it has always been there. The work of Christ, which was ordained unto our glory, has always been there, but God kept it until the time appointed for it to be openly revealed. So it was itching him to talk about it. So he was talking about it in types and shadows, in metaphors, in symbols. Does that make sense? Okay. For instance, you see what theologians call protoevangelion. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, it says, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And the entire Bible was all about revealing who that seed was. Are you getting this? I will put enmity between thee and the woman and her seed and thy seed. You know, when I read this verse, obviously, you know from procreation that the seed does not come from the woman. It comes from the man, right? But now he's saying the seed of the woman, or between her seed, or the seed of the woman. That's proof that it was going to be a virgin birth. It was already intimating virgin birth that man will not have the direct input. Man had an input, but not directly. Are you with me? Because remember, God told Abraham that in thy seed, and that seed was Christ, but when it meant this, Christ was the seed of Abraham, it didn't necessarily mean that a man was responsible for the seed as it were. It was that in that lineage, Christ would come from the knowledge of Abraham. Do you get that? Am I too fast? Okay. Praise the Lord. Every time I read this scripture, it's easy to understand the seed of the woman. What about the seed of the serpent? Follow me. So we can say the seed of the woman is Christ because it's clearly stated in the Bible, right? What about the seed of the serpent or the seed of the wicked one? Let me not deviate. Somebody said I should deviate. Okay, let me make it simple for you. Anybody that submits to the oppression of the devil has taken up the seed of the devil. Let me explain something to you. Have you studied the book of John that says that Cain was of the wicked one? Anybody that rejects the gospel and chooses to yield himself to the control of darkness is carrying the seed of the devil. That's why Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, ye are of your father, the devil. So the unsaved man is not just a guy doing bad things. He's someone who is carrying the seed of darkness in him, waiting to be uprooted by the gospel. Amen. So all those one that is a nice guy, but he's not born again. He's carrying, Satan is your in-law. He says, look at this. Verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. It's the same way of saying you are born of God. He's saying Cain was of the wicked one. So forever there will be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of Christ. That's why you will be cheating yourself trying to get the world to like you. Those of you who started getting serious with Christ, do you notice that one of the things you notice that as you became serious with the Lord, you will go close to people and they just feel this, they just have this disdain towards you. Have you noticed? There is such a disdain towards Christians. Spiricoco, overdo. You too do. Okay. So, everything from this time henceforth in Genesis, like we said in the morning, God was preaching about what he would do in Christ. So, everything he was giving them to demonstrate was actually a picture of his salvation plan in Christ. So, as they were doing that, he was expecting them to look towards when Christ will come and eventually put their faith in him. For instance, you know, God told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son. Who remembers that story? God told Abraham, sacrifice your son, your only son. And God knew that Ishmael was there. He said, whom thou lovest. You know, we know that is Isaac. So Abraham went to sacrifice. And on the journey, Isaac asked him a question that he could not answer. Isaac asked him, I see the wood. I see you have the things for the fire. I see you have the knife. Where is the lamp for the sacrifice? And Abraham answered, God will provide himself a lamb. Kai. God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham got there, and actually Isaac was the lamb. First of all, as he wanted to offer Isaac, actually the Bible says God received the sacrifice of Isaac from Abraham in a figure, because Abraham has already let it go in his heart. That was why he was offering on the platter, right? But God did not want to, he didn't want to break the heart of Abraham. He said, okay, stop! Look into the thicket. There is a ram there. And guess what? That the real lamb was not the one Abraham found. God actually now provided a lamb. John answered that question when Jesus was walking to the baptism and said, this is the lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So all the lambs that they were slaughtering in the Old Testament and shedding the blood couldn't atone for their sins. They thought it was going to atone and they were wrong. It couldn't atone for their sins. The real lamb, all the times they were slaughtering those lambs, it was a reminder the real lamb is coming. Every time they slaughtered, the real lamb is coming. The real lamb is coming. And when he showed up as the lamb of God once and for all. Not to be offered again and again, because that blood will cover for eternity. Are you with me? Wow. All I said is supposed to stir you up if you're a man of God. Shout glory! Okay. Let me just go into it. Praise the Lord. So, this afternoon I want to talk about the circumcision. Glory! Prepare, because God will help you to manage what I want to say. And I receive strength to teach it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start with Philippians 3. Verse 3. You need to rejoice more. You need to stir the anointing. Philippians 3, verse 3. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. I'm not convinced. Some people, I can see somebody say, this church, you like to shout. You to do waiting. Let me tell you why that shouting is important. We are training you to celebrate Christ for who he is. Do you realize that nobody taught people to shout goal? Have you ever thought about that? Nobody said, as the ball just entered the net, bam. Nobody says, come on, shout glory. Sorry, come on, shout goal. Does that happen? You will hear a resounding goal around Lagos. Any city you are, you will hear all the houses, you just hear it resound together. Goal! Some people even come out and start dancing on the road. When Nigeria wins, you just see people pull their shirt. Their still composure and demur, sorry, demure, just goes off. He just goes and start dancing. Hey. If you're in a relationship here, just call your babe, take her to, if she likes shoes though, take her to a shoe rack and say, the 10 of them is yours, choose. If I know, oh my God, are you serious? Tell me about it. Tell me. Then we are talking about the God that saved your soul. Washed away your sins. Washed away your mistakes. What he has done and you will not shout glory. Hey! He says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. Kapala tekomai. So much to say about this. So much to say about this. You know, hey, Jesus. I'm tempted to start addressing different arguments. In Jesus' name. So, what is circumcision? The word scission means to cut. Like to cut with a scissors. To cut. Scission means, that word, C-I-S-I-O-N, means to cut. To cut as with the scissors. And circum means around. So when you say circumcision, it means to cut around. Are you with me? So if you put the words together, it means cut around. Praise the Lord. So, I want to give you an actual definition for circumcision. Prepare for it. It is basically the removal of the foreskin. I will gather myself to see what I have to say. People are already laughing. I will talk. Is the way. That's the medical definition, so I will give you straight. It is basically the removal of the foreskin of the penis of a male child. Did I hear someone say glory? No, don't glory there. It is basically the removal of the foreskin. I want to say private part, but there are many, when you say private part, it means removal of the foreskin of the penis of a male child. Okay. And it had three implications for the Jewish nation or for the Jews. Number one, it meant identification or separation. I can read somebody's mind. He's like, okay, what is going to talk about now? How is this circumcision? How does it concern Bible now and the gospel? You'll find out. Identification or separation. So you identified as God's own people. Number two, it meant promise. And number three, it meant protection. Now, let me tell you why this kind of teaching sounds strange. Because it is not popularly taught in the church, but this is how the apostles preach. Like, for instance, what is circumcision doing in the Bible? You are seeing it. This is the way the apostles preached. Remember, it's kerygma. The way the apostles preached the gospel, the apostolic preaching of the gospel. This was what they were doing on Sunday morning. Are you following me? So for the nation of the Jews, it implied identification. It implied promise. Number three, it implied protection. Let's start with identification. Genesis 17 from verse 9 to 14. So, when God gave the ordinance of circumcision, it was a strategy by which the world would recognize them as God's people or as God's own. Amen. When God gave the ordinance of circumcision, it was a strategy by which the world will recognize them, the Jews, as belonging to God. So it was a system of identification. So read with me Genesis 17, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. What's that covenant? Verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Verse 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin and shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Verse 12. 1, 2, 3, go verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of a stranger, which is not of thy seed. Now, medical science says, now I'm not a doctor, but if I'm wrong, we have doctors, Dr. Chisholm, Dr. Wanadi can correct me. Medical science says that from the 8th day, the element or the blood clotting chemical, prothrombin, peaks, right? Vitamin K or something. It peaks from that day. Prothrombin. Try. So, that's the proof that it was God. They did not know anything about prothrombin, no. This was far, far, far before the development of medical science as we have it today. But God said, as at that time, do the circumcision on the 8th day. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child. Verse 13. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Note that. An everlasting what? Verse 14. And everybody read this verse 14 together. and the uncircumcised man, child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He had broken my covenant. Meaning, he says, if you check among your people and there is somebody who is not circumcised, cut him off. He doesn't belong to me. That's serious. Are you following this? Cut him off. So, God said, this is how you identify my people. They must be circumcised. Now, somebody is saying, what about the women? When women to be circumcised? Well, the covenant was in procreation. So, when a circumcised man meets with a woman, she's part of that covenant because she's carrying the seed of a circumcised man. Are you getting it? That's why Genesis chapter 17, both Abraham and his wife, their names were changed. They were part of this covenant. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. Number two, it implied the promise. You know, if it's all about identification, why must it be that gross? Do you know what it is to circumcise? Who has been there? You will know what it means to circumcise a baby. The kind of cry you will hear, the child will shout. I know right now, circumcision is done for medical reasons, not covenant. But the child will shout and cry so much. Now think of a grown man. Abraham, you'll be father of faith last. Eh? Abraham was in his 70s, oh. Or you. Imagine you a 24-year-old boy or a 30-year-old man. God says, go and circumcise yourself now. Thank God that medicine has developed. You now have anesthetics and all of that. Guess what? That's why no anesthetics. Abraham, they said, God said to circumcise yourself. Abraham, the Bible says Abraham circumcised himself. He cut himself. That kind is called obedience of faith. I'm sure he's asking, are you sure you heard God? But he said, you heard God. He said, God, are you sure? Then after Abraham did himself, he did for everybody in their house. Why was it that gross? It was gory. It was a painful thing. Somebody said, I heard a man of God talking about this, and he said, if I had my way, I know good do that kind of, Lord, it's not identification. Give me a watch, I'll wear it all my life. Well, they give me a necklace, I will wear it. I will never remove it. For instance, I wore my ring when I got married. I wore that ring for about 5 months before removing it. When I removed it, the color tone of that place and the other part of my skin, it was obvious I was in a covenant that I married Pastor Faith. Praise the Lord. Don't worry, she will show up in Lagos before this year ends. So, number two reason why, or two implication of the circumcision was the promise. So, the seed will come by procreation. Are you with me? Abraham's lineage through which the Messiah will come by procreation, it was only fitting that seed will pass through the mark. Are you following me? It was only fitting that the organ through which the seed will pass through will carry the mark of God's covenant. If that's too deep for you to understand, you will understand it in the spirit in Jesus' name. It was only fitting that the organ through which the procreation would happen will carry the mark of God. If God's plan for Abraham was that it would be through his seed, so God wanted to put his mark on the organ that would produce that lineage. God is serious, so. And number three, it meant protection. Exodus 12 verse 48. Pray in the spirit 1 minute. La toko paraka sutekili baraka santesh.
Radons kepeli katusa. Liga de belege sheketelia. Rataka palado kupeliga sate. Meke suteketu sapala katelia. Like suka prando kubushi ketelia. Menga barataka balagados ketelia. Liku baragado shekete. Lete ketu sufili kishiketelia. Likarabasande gede sheketepe leketelia. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus 12 48. Exodus 12 verse 48. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. I will keep the path pacified to the Lord. Let all his means be circumcised. For no circumcised person shall eat thereof. Now, we didn't talk about the Passover in this particular set of teachings. I think I'll talk about Passover in Port Harcourt Church. The gospel in this Passover is that when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. So what happened? God was going to judge the entire land of Egypt and said, you know what? Kill a lamb. Put the blood of the lamb on your lintels. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. That means they were not going to be spared because they were Jews, but because they were under the blood. Are you with me? The angel of death is not going to pass and say, talk to me, what is your accent? Oh, you are Jewish. So that means it's not even going to be by their tribe or even their good works. That means if an Egyptian was also in that house where the blood was, he would have been spared. That's the picture of salvation. So in Christ, by the blood of Christ, which is the real lamb in Christ, God's judgment over the world has passed over us. Do you understand that? It also means by the blood, you know, Kai, who remembers arguments years ago when they said they were arguing that Christians should not say you are covered with the blood of Jesus. Who has said that thing before? There was an argument, Twitter banter 2017. I cannot forget. They say, they should not be covered with the blood. Well, that the blood is for forgiveness of sins. Yes. But going by what happened in Exodus, the blood is a protection. Ah, by the blood that was shed, the devil has no rights to you. The angel of death had no rights to the Israelites because they were under the blood. So right now, the child of God is covered by the blood. Are you with me? So when he wants to attack you, tell him there's the blood over me. Glory! Glory! You are covered with the blood of Jesus. The problem is that people said it with fear. They didn't understand the revelation. So you are going, you are covered with the blood. You are covered with the blood. The blood of Jesus cover you. I'm covered by the blood. So he's saying that only the circumcised should be partakers of the blessings of the Passover. Are you seeing this? Only those who have that mark can engage in this feast that marks that God has rescued or exempted them. That was another way of telling the Israelites, you are not my people because you are special. You are my people because in a figure you believe in what I will do in Christ. So by the time they were doing that cutting, they were already figuratively talking about how that Christ will be caught and by his blood, though, are you with me? And by the blood of Christ, you can become God's special people. So Israel, you are not still going to be my people, or you are not just going to be my people just because I like you for nothing's sake, or because you are just somehow special, but because you are covered by the blood. Are you with me? By the work of Christ's redemption in his death. Amen. And so, I've gone ahead of myself, but you will still get the point. Praise the Lord. So, number one, we said identification. Number two, promise. Number three, protection. Now, this answers a question that you may have as a Bible student. Have you read your Bible and there was a point where God was trying to kill Moses? Exodus chapter 4. Let's go there. Let me tell you something. You need to study the Bible and you need a good Bible teacher so that there are many things that look like they are contradictory in the Bible. But with Bible study, you will understand it. Exodus 4 from verse 24. Exodus 4 verse 24. The Bible says, everybody read. And it came to pass by way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. What is happening? Moses was called in Exodus chapter 3. And in chapter 4, he's on his way to obey the call. And God is coming to kill him. Like, are you schizophrenic? Is God? Is there something wrong with God? What is going on? Well, you'll find out. Verse 25. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone, and cut off the foreskin of her son, and cast it at his feet, and said, surely a bloody husband thou art to me. Verse 26. So he let him go, and then he said, a bloody husband thou art, because of the circumcision. What was happening? In the spirit realm, the judgment of God was going to be strong. There is no favoritism. Moses would have died because he was not under the blood. Now, what was happening? How can Moses, a prophet like you, have a child in your house and you don't circumcise that male child? Remember, the covenant of circumcision was long time in Genesis chapter 17. Moses came almost 400 years later. Are you following me? How can you miss that? And so, Zipporah, obviously, she must have been taught. It just dawned on her that no, we did something wrong. She found out that she did something wrong. Circumcise the child. That's to tell you how serious it is, the grace of God in Christ Jesus. So, listen. Anybody that is not under the blood, the judgment of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming on him. Do you remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God and they were driven out of the garden, and God gathered the tree of life with angels? Do you remember the angels' hearts words? Remember, it meant anybody that will pave the way for the tree of life to be open to us must die. There must be some cutting. Are you following this? There must be somebody must come under the knife if the tree of life will be open for men. Praise the Lord. Please, I hope this is not sounding too deep for you. Is it better than the morning session? Praise the Lord. As I'm talking now, somebody feels like, well, I think I should go and cut myself now. Let me be under the blood. So, well, there were some limitations with the circumcision of the law. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. Have you all understood me to this point? Has it made sense to this point? Let me tell you something. How many of you have been online and say, I want to go to the early church? Is the early church style I want? If you are bored now, it means that you would have been bored to death in the early church. You would have fainted with boredom. Because in the early church, my God, at least they have our own. We have the writings of the apostles, which is also scriptural, to explain. And I will come and say, today we are talking about looking at the book of Zechariah and Nahum. They will not start preaching Christ from Nahum. Really, it is there. Look at Stephen. Look at Peter. Look at all the things he said in Acts chapter 2. He was preaching. All the preaching in Acts chapter 2. He was quoting from Psalm, quoting from Isaiah. He was just quoting Psalm 16, Isaiah 60, Isaiah 53, like that. Micah 4. Is there Nahum 2? Zechariah, Zephaniah. Some people have never opened Zephaniah. But that was the early church. Praise the Lord. So, Romans 4, verse 9. We're going to read from verse 9 to 12. So, let's talk a little bit about the circumcision in the New Testament and the limitations of that with the Old Testament. Paul is talking about this blessing, or the blessing that Abraham received. He says, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also.
For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Why is this argument important? It is because the Jews had some sort of superiority complex because of the circumcision. And that's something not to take lightly. Remember when David came to the battlefield and Goliath was talking and he believed in the covenant. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Do you remember? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the Lord? That's not something to ignore. We'll come back to it. So, the Jews call themselves the circumcision. I can imagine a Jew as at that time reading the book of Philippians when Paul said we are the circumcision. He said, how you take me? Now we. So, they even call themselves, we are the circumcision. It's us. It belongs to us. We are the ones that God caught covenant with, not you. In fact, it was so, their superiority complex was so much even in their food. There are some foods that were called unclean. And that was a picture of people who are not saved or who are not part of the Jewish family were called unclean. That was why, am I going too far? That was why when Peter saw, when God wanted to talk to Peter, a typical Jew, when God wanted to talk to him about preaching to the Gentiles, he brought a whole plate or a whole tray of unclean animals and said, arise and eat. Then he said, no, Lord. He told God in the dream, you are not correct. Me, eat this. Remember also, the Jews has no dealings with Samaritans. So, because of the circumcision, they don't mix up anyhow. That's also something to take note of. We'll get back to it. They don't mix up like that. They check you first. Okay, no, you're not a Jew. No. So, Paul is giving an argument that this salvation plan that Christ has brought, which was prefigured by Abraham, he says, commit this blessedness upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also. Paul, God sent him. The argument that he's going to bring out now, you will see. He says, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Verse 10. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? No, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Pay attention. So he's saying that before God brought the whole ordinance of circumcision, Abraham was already declared righteous. And if Abraham was already declared righteous, that changes everything. So the righteousness by faith that we talk about in Christ, Abraham got it when he was not circumcised. Praise the Lord. How was it then, verse 10, how was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had been uncircumcised. Everybody read it. Sir, you will not sleep. The person that wrote it, Paul, Apostle Paul. Oh, Jesus. What kind of revelation God had to have given him? I told somebody to read before in your sleep, you'll be in incision. That's sleep, incision. Incision. No. He said, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed on them also. So he's saying that because Abraham received righteousness when he was not circumcised, he now qualifies to be the father of all that believe. So he received righteousness when he was not circumcised, right? So he's the father of faith for those who are not circumcised. Now he has been circumcised as a seal of the righteousness he had when he was not circumcised. So now that he has been circumcised, he's also the father of faith for those that are also circumcised. So Abraham qualifies to be both your father, the Jews, and the father of all those that will believe after. Do you get that? Now, go to verse 12. Have you looked at verse 11? So go to verse 12. Everybody read verse 12. Read this thing again. But who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Very important point. So now, he's telling the Jews, I know you have circumcision in your body, but if you don't believe the same way Abraham believed, your circumcision will count for nothing. Are you with me? So that means, the Jews needed a mark to show that they were the lineage through which Christ was coming. But even though you are the lineage through which Christ is coming, you must also have faith in Christ for you to be saved, even though you have the mark. So if you have the mark and you don't believe by faith in Christ, your mark will not count for anything. Are you getting it? It's just like saying, how will I put this now? You will get it. Has it happened to you before? Okay, don't raise your hand. Just laugh. So, maybe you are a girl and you saw this fresh guy that you just liked. You're like, hey, I just said my chest was just doing doom, 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 doom. Then he came close to where you are and was about to talk to somebody and did his hand like this. And you now saw that there was a ring on his hand. You're like, oh, taking. Yeah, denying me, Abby. Okay, it doesn't happen to sisters. Now, them, it happened to pass. You know how many places I've entered? God has saved me. Went to minister somewhere. He said, sir, you are. He brought out the diary. Said, I was praying, and God told me, my husband, his name will be David. All the 70s that God said about my husband. You are the one. I just said, I've been taking. I said, I'm gone. Sorry. Oh, you as a guy, you are just timing this as you're leading prayer. Likabata, ekabarabashata, baby, pity, or you're leading prayer. Labarata, ekambalata, and where you are, like, man, mama, pray, he's entering me. I just love, my God. Oh, then Pastor Edina comes and say, I just thank God for the prayer led by my wife. And you know, or you see that ring on your hand, you're like, amen. If she was coming to talk to you the first time and follow up and you're just smiling here, now you'll not smile again. Just be straightforward. But you see, there are some people that wear a ring when they are not married. Please, if you are not married yet, and there's a ring on your marriage hand, remove it. Don't be blocking the move of God. So there are people like that that wear a ring. Now, if they are not married, the ring on their hand does not automatically mean they are married. Do you get it? In the same way, the real covenant is not the ring. It's the covenant between the man and the woman. Are you with me? So now the real covenant is not really about the fact that you have a mark. It is that have you put faith in Christ? Are you getting this? And so, Paul begins to argue about this. You see Romans 2 verse 25 to 29. So, Paul will begin to say things like, you are Jews, but you don't keep the law of God. You don't demonstrate your faith in God. You have the circumcision, but you don't demonstrate your faith in God. And there are people who are not Jews. They are Gentiles. They keep the law of God. They demonstrate their faith in God. That means your uncircumcision. Their uncircumcision has become circumcision because of faith. And you, because of your unbelief, your circumcision is now reversed. Are you following this?
Praise the Lord.
And that was the argument he was making there. That means in the Bible, they had a lot of unrighteous circumcised people and righteous uncircumcised people. Let me put it in a way you may be able to relate. That means there were righteous Gentiles and unrighteous Jews. Do you know that the Pharisees were circumcised? Are you following me? The Pharisees and all those that did not believe in Jesus and called him a blasphemer and rejected his salvific work, they were circumcised. But you see, the circumcision was not enough. That's what Paul is arguing, that circumcision is not enough. You must also walk in the same faith that Abraham had. And the circumcision was given because of the faith. Are you with me? So the circumcision that Abraham received was a seal of the faith he had. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So with that, faith becomes the unifying factor. Faith becomes what gives us equal access. And this changes the theology of circumcision henceforth. So look at Ephesians 2 verse 11. Don't worry. On or before 3 o'clock, we're out of here to go and warm up for this evening. This evening, God. This evening, tomorrow morning. Power from above. There is power from above. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 11. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. So let's start again. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles, say after me, in time past. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. So you were being called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So now, after Christ's work has come, he has to now qualify which type of circumcision you have. Is it the one made by hands or the one made by Christ? Are you following this? It says, wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise. So all that Israel had, because of their circumcision, it was for them alone. So you may ask, how were we aliens? The same way that covenant separated them unto God, it also alienated every other person unto themselves. Are you getting it? That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens of the from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus. Hey. But now in Christ Jesus. Ye who sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ. How are we made nigh? Did we have to take a stone and cut our own selves? No. We are made nigh by the blood of the one who was cut for us. Do you get that? So, the same way the foreskin was cut off for God to enter that covenant, Christ was cut off from the land of the living that we may live. Do you get that? Now go to Colossians 2 from verse 11 and verse 13. Colossians 2 from verse 11 and verse 13. Everybody read? Okay. Let's start from verse 10 so that it flows. 1, 2, 3, go. Glory. Don't read that one and just pass like that. Read it again. Verse 10. The head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. You see that now. Everybody read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. In whom also ye are circumcised
with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Ah, you missed the place to shout glory. Now, go to verse 13. Read it again. Verse 13. Who is seeing the whole something there? And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. So, circumcision also has something to do with the fleshly nature. And I'm going to come to the implications and then we'll round up. Had he quickened together, having forgiven you all trespasses. So, what is the true doctrine of circumcision? It is that Christ has become our circumcision. Jesus died for us that the body of sin might be destroyed. And by declaring our faith in God, we have received sanctification, we have received the work of the Holy Spirit. And now, that stony heart has been cut off. That propensity to sin has been cut off. The nature of sin and the work of the flesh has been cut off. Are you with me? So right now, God took the technology higher. In the old covenant, they had to use a stone to cut themselves. But right now, by the Holy Ghost, he comes and cuts out the stony heart and puts in the heart of flesh. This time around, no blood. Are you following me? It is done by the Spirit. So there is a hidden circumcision that is not with hands, that is done without hands. You know, now we'll address it. I'll talk about it. Have you heard that argument about baptism? Water baptism. Have you heard the argument? Now, if you notice all we've been talking about, in the morning, we talked about the rest of God, right? There was a rest promised in the Old Testament, but the true rest is in Christ. There is a circumcision that they did, but the true circumcision is in Christ. Do you notice that he kept on saying circumcision made without hands. Circumcision made without hands. Did you notice that? If you remember John's baptism, John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? So that means John is a baptizer, but Christ is also a baptizer. Right? So if it is Christ's baptism, there will be no hands. The circumcision here was without hands. The baptism without hands. Are you with me? It also connects to that we put no boast in the flesh. So you cannot point to any fleshly thing you did as part of what adds to your salvation. You cannot point to the fact that you went into water physically as part of what... Are you getting me? If it was a man, a physical man that baptized you, put you in water and brought you out, that is not the baptism of Christ. So, is water baptism evil? No. Is it good? No. If you don't baptize, is there anything wrong? No. If you baptize, is there anything wrong? No. If you want to be baptized, go and be water baptized. If you don't want to be water baptized, don't. Are you with me? Everybody's looking at me. Pastor. So when I say this argument, I don't. When we are done with the argument, there are some people that will still go and be water baptized. There are some people that will not be water baptized. So, are you with me? Let's think about it. How does water baptism make you a better Christian? Tell me, be simply because you entered into water. How does that add? Okay, they say it's a public declaration of your faith. When you do water baptism, how many people did you call? Where did you go and you declared your faith by saying, I'm water baptized? Truth be told, it was a public question of faith in those days. At some point, if the Roman Empire wanted to know if you were, they would say, have you been washed onto that man? They knew it that Christians were doing it. But how is that your public question of faith today? I can talk about it. Any side you want to come from, any side. The final side they want to say is, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus also said that there is a baptism I have to be baptized with. And it was not talking about water, it was about suffering. So how are you sure that the one he said in Matthew 28 is about water? Everybody's quiet. I found trouble. Oh, Pastor, what are you saying? Are you not saying? Pastor. You know why I love topics like that? Whether you do or you don't do, it has no impact. So you can argue for it. There's a way you will bend scriptures and it will be correct. And you will make your point and we'll clap for you. But when it comes down to it, if it is Christ, you will put no boast in the flesh. If it is Christ, you will put no boast in the flesh. If it is Christ, you will put no boast in the flesh. Are you with me? You know the problem? Okay, now, people say, it's the same thing we're talking about circumcision. People say that it is my public declaration of my faith, right? Follow me, right? Now, do you know there are people who have not been born again and are water baptized? Wait now, I don't know people who are not born again and are water baptized. In the same way, a person may not be saved but have circumcision as a sign as a Jew. So, even if you have that circumcision as a Jew, if you don't have faith in Christ, it does not count for anything. If you like step into water and bath 15 times, if you are not born again, if you have not had your faith in Christ, it does not count for anything. Are you with me? But what do I know? Praise the Lord. No, it is okay. It's okay. Someone said, somebody, the one that made me laugh, someone said, if there is no water, we should just sprinkle. You saw that one, Abby? It's just sprinkle. It's just sprinkle. Do you know what you are saying? You are taking us back to the time of Moses. The time of Moses. Where Moses will come out from the temple and begin to sprinkle upon the people, declaring blessings on them, prefiguring the fact that when Christ will fulfill his work in the temple above, he will release the Holy Spirit. What am I doing with that kind of sprinkling when the Holy Ghost has come? I can go on and on, on and on. So what does this circumcision imply to you? Number one, identification. So, the same way by the ordinance of circumcision in the Old Testament with Abraham, they knew that they were separated to God. Right now, by the Spirit, we have been circumcised. And by the Spirit, we are separated unto God. Do you get that? Even if you are sleeping, even if your sister is sleeping, tell him, ask him, do you get that? Ask her, do you get that? So, by the Spirit, we have been circumcised. And now, by that Spirit, we belong to God. 1 John chapter 4 verse 13, he says, hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Once again, am I too fast? Did you get this one? Okay. Romans chapter 8 from verse 9. Everybody, Romans 8 verse 9. Read that last part again. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you remember what we read in the circumcision, that if any man is not circumcised, he must be cut off from the people? So now, in the new covenant, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to God. This is the mark of circumcision. Do you have the Spirit of Christ? Praise the Lord. Number two, circumcision implies sanctification. Sanctification. So, by the circumcision of Christ, he has cut out the stony heart. Remember what we read in Colossians chapter 2? That by the circumcision of Christ, he has removed the sins of the flesh, or the body of sins of the flesh, having forgiven us all trespasses. So, by the Spirit of Christ,
the system of sin in our hearts, in our lives, as new creations in Christ has been cut away. Are you with me? It has been cut away. You are putting the scripture on the screen. Okay, see verse 11. It says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So by the circumcision of Christ, God by his spirit cuts off that propensity to continue in sin. That desire to love sin, that sin is no longer irresistible. So by the spirit, we can say no to sin. This also makes sense with the fact that Abraham circumcised himself. It was not somebody that circumcised Abraham. So you are saying that by the Holy Spirit, you can partner with God. The Bible says, if ye live out of the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body. So the same way Abraham circumcised himself, we can partner with the Holy Spirit to put an end to the work of sin in our lives. Does that make sense? So now, you are circumcised and you can circumcise yourself by the Spirit. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I heard somebody's thoughts just now. I said, you know they're tired. I'm tired, but we are all tired together. And we are indeed together. Amen? Amen. Amen. When people are doing ICANN diets, don't they used to get tired? You'll be in one place. You'll be learning. How many hours is those of you that don't see CFE and ICANN? 12 hours. That means we are good. We are chilling, man. Number 3. In the circumcision of Christ, we have authority and boldness. Ah, this is the one I've been planning. I've been waiting to come here since. I've been preaching since to get to this point. We have authority and boldness. Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, some people, they only think of the fact that, oh, God is, and there's a God somewhere. But they don't want to talk about the fact that there is a reward for diligently seeking him. They feel like it's carnality to talk about it. There is a reward in practical terms. In practical terms. There is a reward for seeking him. Now, if you study the Old Testament, do you remember after Cain sinned against God? Hey, I want to push myself happy. Do you remember after Cain sinned against God? And God told him, you'll be a vagabond, and you will wander, and the land will not yield to you his strength, and all of that. Cain told God that my punishment is too much for me. People will see me and kill me. Do you know what God said? I will put a mark on thee, and no one will be able to kill you. Ah! Cain left the presence of God, judged but protected. How much more you? Carrying the mark of the Spirit. Oh my God. You go somewhere, you see blood stains on the floor, like calabash, they did covenant, and you are scared. You are scared. You should match it and continue. You are carrying a different mark, a higher mark. Ah, my God. Let me tell you why people don't function in power. There are two reasons. Number one, I'm preaching Port Harcourt's camp, but we'll get there, we'll break it down there for you. Two reasons people don't function in power. Number one, they don't get themselves full of the Spirit. Number two, they are not conscious of what they have. Those two reasons. So there are people who they will match that thing and they don't have any organic work with the Lord. Are you with me? And something may happen to them. Say, oh, we match poison. I am marked. There is a seal upon. Do you know that? So nobody could kill Cain simply because he was marked. Do you know that in the spirit realm, they know that you are marked? They know you are marked. Every calabash pot can see it. But you, can you see it? When they call your name in a certain mirror, can you? They know this one is marked, but do you know?
So after me, I have the authority. Remember Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision who rejoice in Christ Jesus, or better put, instead of rejoice, the right rendering is, and we boast in Christ Jesus. So after me, I make my boast in Christ. I make my boast in Christ.
David came in. Look at David. David came in front of Goliath and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Hey, and that was a shadow of the things to come. You have the very circumcision. The circumcision that God was going to talk, was talking about, that was what David was bragging about. It was a shadow of things to come, yet it was efficacious. How much more you with the real? That means you, if Goliath is standing in front of you, no spirit force is backing him. He's meat for you. He's meat. And even if there is a force behind him, you have something greater. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in me. I'm carrying the seal of the Lord on my body. I'm carrying the seal of the Lord in my body. Have you forgotten? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. David will say, you want to circumcise Philistine. In this same regard of circumcision, Paul made a strong statement in Galatians 6, verse 15 to 17. So, it will start from verse 15. Galatians 6, from verse 15. Galatians 6, verse 15. It says, for in Christ Jesus, everybody read this verse. Neither circumcision availeth anything, non circumcision, but the new creature. Do you see that now? So it's not me making it up. Go to Galatians 5, verse 6. Everybody read Galatians 5, verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. Neither circumcision availeth anything, non circumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Do you see that? So it's faith. It is a new creature. That's the real circumcision. Are you with me? So now go back to Galatians 6, verse 15. Galatians 6, verse 15. 6:15. Everybody read 6:15. And promise me you will rejoice when we are done in verse 17. Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I still come in verse 16. And upon the Israel of God. Talk for another day. Maybe I'll do another teaching. The Israel of God. Then deviate a little. Enter Romans 9. Garnish it Romans 11. The remnant. Talk about those kind of things. But the problem now is, with people will not be looking at me like this. There are some chapters I can bet you some people have never opened in the Bible. There are some chapters in the Bible I know that they have never. There are some churches 30 years they have never preached from that place. When you want to preach to that place, no dodge. When last did you see somebody preach on Romans 11? Romans 11. A remnant shall be saved. You start talking about the wild olives and the... Let me leave it alone. But the apostles preached it. So one day, I'm coming. Now, after Paul finished saying, whether circumcision or no circumcision avails anything. Well, if you are circumcised, it doesn't mean anything. If you're not circumcised, it doesn't mean anything. Then he says something in verse 17. Everybody read Galatians 6, 17. I may not be carrying the Jewish circumcision, but if I have the Holy Ghost in me, let no man trouble me. Let no man attack me. It cannot work. Are you with me? Satan cannot scare a man who has been scarred already. I'm carrying the scar of the Holy Ghost. Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kapalate. What does it mean? Christ has taken all the scar for me. He came under the knife for me. Before the devil wants to attack me, no, you have already attacked Christ for me. You can't attack two times. I bear in my body The Holy Ghost is proof that his work was efficacious. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost is proof that his death was efficacious. So I bear the Holy Ghost in my body. No man can trouble me from now henceforth. Hey! That's the scripture to pray with. When they are trying to press you in the night, you wake up. Let no man trouble me. Let no demon, no force of darkness. Wherever you are, you cannot trouble my family. I bear my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Akapalatai. That's the gospel, oh. It's part of the gospel. You look at your business. Nothing will trouble you. You will rise. You will rise. Because you are connected to me, let nothing trouble you. Are you with me? How can people go to a juju priest and they know that if they cut a covenant with the juju priest, they have some safe passage in life? How much more you that has the true and living God? How much more you that has the true and living God? How much more you? How much more you? How much more? He says, if the blood of woods and goats could cover them, how much more the blood of the eternal spirit? How much more the blood of the eternal spirit? Tells me, I boast in Christ Jesus. I boast in Christ Jesus. You will learn to walk and square your shoulders. I boast in Christ Jesus. Tells me, I'm circumcised by the circumcision of Christ. Jump on your feet. The final one. In the old covenant, when they were circumcised, the circumcision stays with them for life. That means when you are circumcised in Christ, you have assurance of salvation. Ah. Are you with me? No wonder the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, it says, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Do you know what that means? They will tell you when you buy a drink that if the seal is broken, don't use it. That means the seal is not supposed to be taken off until it gets to the final customer, right? Until it gets to the final place, they don't remove the seal. In the same way, the Holy Ghost with you is proof that you will get to the final destination. The Holy Ghost on you is your seal. Ah, that when the master comes, you are going with him. Are you with me? Give him praise right now. So right now, I want to give you a few minutes. Anything that has been troubling you, let no man trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is my mark. I've been marked by the Spirit. So by the Spirit and the circumcision of Christ, we have been identified with him. We have sanctification and the ability to put an end to the work of the flesh. We have authority and boldness. And number four, we have assurance of salvation. Kabalatoski pelemande. Kabalatoski ngrinda labaris katelia. Glindoroboski felikatilia kapai. Shele barate keso zeketelia. Eko barakate sete. Rokope kete peleke sheketelia. For we are the circumcision. Hey! Who serve God in the spirit? Ela barakapandege sute kete telia. Everything that Israel enjoyed because they were circumcised, it's available to you. Hey, kapalate pelete. The circumcised had the Red Sea pass in front of them. Hey, the circumcised had giants give way for them. They came to a land full of giants. But the circumcised had the power of God bring down the giants. Atabalate ketelia. He says when they went from nation to nation, he reproved kings for their sake. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproves kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. These people of Israel, the circumcised, we are part of them right now. We are no longer strangers. We are members of the family of God. By the Spirit we have access. By one Spirit we have access to the Father. Alakatetelia kapai. We are citizens, fellow citizens of the household of God. By the Spirit, everything Israel had is our own right now. Everything they had is our own right now. We are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oria kambande beletetelia, liketetetelia. I am the circumcision. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We make no boast in the flesh, but we boast in Christ. Israel went through the wilderness and manna fell from heaven. The circumcised had manna fall from heaven. Wherever you are, even in that tight corner, people of God, the heavens are open for you. Maybe business has not been working. The heavens are open for you. As you step into 2025, go in this thy might, that you are the Israel of God.